At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Summer is supposed to be an opportunity to slow down, but when you look at your kids, you can't help but notice that your kids are growing up fast. Help them build independence as they grow with Greenlight. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families where parents can keep an eye on kids' money habits while kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. It's the easy, convenient way to raise financially smart kids. Get your first month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Illini guy Mike Kegley, and I am here with Illini guy Brad Sturdy and Illini guy's director of recruiting, Kedrick Prince. We are looking at the post game of the Illinois-Michigan double overtime thrilling victory as the Illini pull out a really nice win over a game Michigan team, 91-87, and Illinois goes 8-1 in games where the McNuggets deal goes into effect. So when you see a player miss two free throws in a row, and we know who you are, Hunter Dickinson, there is a really strong possibility of the Illini winning, and we like to find stats that have a causal connection. So let's sit back and relax. We will have Kedrick Prince on right after this break. Thank you very much.
At Busey Wealth Management, we're proud to partner with individuals, families, and foundations, ensuring possibilities become achievements. From preserving and enhancing your assets to securing your legacy for future generations, we're focused on your success. Busey Bank. Building business, growing wealth since 1868. Proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
So, Ked, that was one of the more stressful Illini games. I'll be honest with you. I don't think I've been that stressed out during this game. I have to go all the way back till the early 80s when I had to hope that George Montgomery was going to hit free throws. That was about as stressed out as I've been in a long time. How did you get through it?
I'll tell you what. I wear a hat all the time because I try to hide my bald spots. And I think the six hairs I had left, I think I'm down to maybe two or three left. Mike, that was tough. I mean, you talk about a roller coaster. I mean, what a night. I mean, guys just gutting it out, playing 40 minutes a game, and it was right on the line, I thought, for both teams. I mean, it really was. It was Brad Underwood's 20th win. I believe that's 4 or 5 consecutive years. And, they gutted it out. And either team could have won. I mean, either team. And whoever got the break to get it, at the end of the game was going to be that, was going to be the team to win it. I give Juwan Howard credit. I know Illinois fans don't like Michigan, and I'm not a fan of the team either, and I'm glad that Hunter Dickinson won't come back to Champaign again. But I have to be honest, I'm a big fan of Juwan Howard, and I have no problem with him. I think he's a good coach. I mean, I'm going to give you a perfect example, and this is just one small example. Well, I'll give you two. Okay. He knew that Illinois didn't have an answer for Hunter Dickinson, and he rode him. They rode him, and he delivered. The other part we're going to give him credit is the last play of the game. If that was his son that he drew that play up for, that might, that may go in, And the whole debate was a foul, that was my thought. But the play was so well, drawn up, you couldn't foul. I mean, Illinois dodged a bullet there because a different player could have tied it up. So point being, he never apologized for, a win because, they're needed. I think there's like a 6-7-way tie. For the fans out there that are asking what the tiebreaker is, it's going to be head-to-head, so right away, so Illinois is going to be in the, they're going to be in the negative because they've lost some of these teams that are ahead of them. So, you know, they may end up, even though it's a second-way tie or third, they may get a horrible seed in the Big Ten tournament because they lost games that they shouldn't have.
Well, and you know, that's where ultimately you have to take care of business, even if you want to talk about a couple of losses at home. You know, now granted, they had a good year at home at 15-2, but, you know, there were a couple of losses at home, particularly to Penn State, that were relatively one-sided. You know, Indiana, you know, and you're thinking, man, if they could have just played those two games a little better. Because I do think it's – after seeing Hunter Dickinson score 31 tonight, how many points do we think Zach Edey's going to have on Sunday?
You know what? I would like to think they would do something different with him, but I don't think they're going to.
I don't know. What are they – but let's talk about it, though, kid. You know, and then we'll get back to this game. But what do they do with the current roster?
Here's me as a coach. This is just me. I'm doubling him early to see if Purdue's making shots. I am. I'm going to double him. Front him and then put a guy in the back. If they're making shots, you play the percentages. You give up twos instead of ones. I mean, excuse me, you give up twos instead of threes because it's senior day and they're going to be fired up. But I will tell you, with these officials in the Big Ten, senior day doesn't matter because you saw Northwestern get beat. You know, on this senior night, so by Penn State, so it doesn't matter. Illinois come out to play. I will give them credit. They didn't launch a bunch of threes. The guy shooting the threes was Matthew Meyer, who I have no problem with shooting threes. So I'm doubling him early, Mike, to answer your question, to see if they're making shots and if Illinois can get to the rim. I like the fact, the little things about the game, that I think tonight what Illinois can help against Purdue, when you attack the basket, you know, usually, not all the time with, you know, with the Big Ten officials, you're going to get calls. And Michigan was in foul trouble. So continue to do that. I mean, that's a recipe for success, you know. And if you have the right guys driving, RJ Melendez, welcome to Illinois basketball 2022-23 season. Because he's a good free throw shooter. Terrence Shannon's a good free throw shooter. Matthew Myers is a good free throw shooter. So I like them attacking the basket. Get the crowd out of the game early because they're going to be ready to play. They just are.
Yeah, and I thought for my own purposes, you know, tonight's game, there were a couple of stats, I guess, to me that really stood out for the Illini, especially when you consider a double overtime. The Illini only had 7 turnovers, and that has been a problem for this team all year. And to me, if you can, you know, 7 turnovers means you're getting shots at the basket. And even if you're not shooting very well, you're getting shots at the basket. You know, we're back to that again. And so I thought that was spectacular that they were taking care of the ball. I thought the other thing was early on, they were getting out rebounded. And, you know, when it was all said and done, they ended up, you know, losing the rebounding battle 46-45. And that was with Dane Dangin not playing a ton, you know, 17 minutes. And down the stretch, you had Hunter Dickinson and Terrace Reed playing a lot of ball together. And even with those two bigger guys, Illinois, you know, kind of actually caught up a little bit. So I thought that was really impressive for the Illini. And then the other thing is they weren't perfect, but, you know, shooting 76% from the free throw line, every one of those free throws ended up counting. And this was a night that for the most part, they went up and knocked them down. You know, and of course that first overtime, they had a little bit of a brain fart. But other than that, you know, they really hit the free throws, and it turned out to be critical in the end.
Shooting. But Mike, yeah, the right guy's shooting. Here's what I like, and I'm glad you said that because, I mean, like, Coleman Hawkins is a 60% free throw shooter. He didn't put himself in position to shoot the free throw. It was the right guys, you know, and I just – that's either players knowing the personnel, which I, you know, which I'm a big fan of, or putting the ball in the guy's hands who you knew who could shoot free throws. And I just, the execution part, you know, a lot of people are really critical at times of, you know, coach not doing this or coach not doing that. I was impressed with things tonight, and I was really, really impressed with, you know, he knew the time when to get on officials. He knew when to spread the floor. He knew when he had a mismatch, because there was times, Mike, they were attacking that basket, and he knew it. So all of the plays were, and it was for some reason, he knew Michigan was not going to guard them off the bounce. And that's a recipe. And I was loving the fact that they were looking to attack. I like that.
Yeah. No, I love them going to the basket. And I think they had the most dunks that they've had this season. Or I guess one behind when they played. They had 6 dunks tonight, all of them in regulation. That's the most dunks in Big Ten play this season, and one away from their season high against Lindenwood and Bethune-Cookman. So, I love the way, Coleman Hawkins went in there, and RJ Melendez was unbelievable how there was just a different confidence in him tonight, and he saw the opportunities. He didn't hesitate. He just went after it. And boy, when he doesn't think, he's got a lot of athletic ability, and it was nice to see him, you know, hit his only 3-pointer and go 5 for 5 from the free throw line.
Yes. You know what? It was good to see that from him. I mean, it really was. I just, when you look at the big picture tonight, you know, minus Jaden Epps, you saw a complete roster. You saw a kind of, I don't want to say a finished project, prospect from RJ Melendez. I was really, really impressed with the 3. He looked like he belonged. And here's the deal. Underwood rolled him the entire second half. I mean, and he performed. He really performed. You know, so I respect it. I'm just really glad, and I hope his mindset changes. He needed that. He needed that. The university, the basketball team needed that. And, you know, and when you look long term, he's a guy that's really going to, in my personal opinion, turn things around and be that X factor in the NCAA tournament. Because, you know, I've always thought Matthew Myers is that guy. And I know a lot of people may not like his game. You know, it's different strokes for different folks, which is an old saying. But I just like him. I like his aggressiveness. I like his attitude is, I'm going to get my shot off, and you can't stop me. And if you really think about it, I've yet to see anybody in the Big Ten or college basketball stop him. He'll stop himself, but he's able to get a shot whenever he wants. I mean, whether he's taking people off the dribble, shooting over the top, he's a tough matchup for people. Illinois fans just got to hope that he is hot and on fire during the NCAA tournament, because you can ride a guy like him.
Yeah, oh, I agree. And to be honest with you, with both him and Ty Rogers, Ty was great on, just taking the ball and getting some layups, particularly going from behind the backboard, you know, into front of the backboard. I thought he played well. And I will tell you 2 things about Ty Rogers that I thought were pretty amazing was, one, he ended up with 5 of his 7 rebounds were offensive rebounds. Critical to get those extra possessions. Illinois ended up with 12 offensive rebounds, so out offensive rebounding Michigan 12-9. That's probably one of the stats that us basketball coaches look at the most. And the other thing about Ty Rogers is when he was playing on the weak side on the defense and was guarding a guy who was down on, on the baseline, he was great weak side help for Coleman Hawkins, and probably a little bit more effective at that than Terrence Shannon or Matt Meyer were. There's just Rogers isn't perfect. He's still a freshman, but his court awareness, particularly on the defensive end, is really good.
He's just smart, and he has a knack for the basketball. He can go get rebounds, and it's like he can read the ball where it's coming off. And think about where he was in the early in the season, you know, and we looked at it, and every time he shot the ball, you cringe. He made 2 free throws tonight, and I thought, okay, You know, he's going to miss two. It's going to be a turnover. You know, I'm thinking, you know, he's going to get the chicken McNuggets, you know, the chicken McNuggets for the fan, and, yep. and he's on the home team. But he just looks really, really – he looks poised, and every time he drives to the basket now, it looks, you think it's going to go in. I mean, you just do. And I putting him in at crunch time, they're growing up. They're growing up right before our eyes.
Yeah, and it was quite a game, you know, for him. And I'm going to throw, you know, we've been talking about some players here hit and miss, but Coleman Hawkins played 49 minutes, including
49 minutes.
Ooh. 49 minutes. So he was out for 1 minute in that game. That's impressive.
And he didn't foul out.
And he didn't foul out, and he had to guard a guy who was 260 pounds, although apparently Coleman Hawkins can flip Hunter Dickinson onto his back like a turtle. With Coleman Hawkins, apparently Fletch is a better strength and conditioning coach than any of us knew. By the way, Hunter went down like he was shot with Coleman's incredible strength. But I got to give Hawkins credit because, you know, he didn't have the greatest scoring night. He had 6 points, but he had 7 rebounds. He had 2 assists. He had 2 steals, 1 turnover, and he contested a shot and had a goaltend that was a bunch of crap. You know, again, another – I know that – and he had, what, 2 Thunder dunks. I know fans sometimes get frustrated with him. But I do think he is one who tries to take what the defense gives him as long as, you know, you don't yep. expect him to shoot too often.
I'd rather see him do that than just chuck up a bunch of shots because totally. he's trying to improve his draft stock. He's smart. And, you know, without him, you don't win. And you got to give him credit, you know, because he didn't foul out. Granted, he had 4 fouls and, you know, I'm going to not say anything about the officiating unless you bring it up. But, I mean, it's taking away from the fun of the game for me, the love of the game, even in basketball. I mean, excuse me, in football. I'm just tired. It stinks. And so I'll close my mouth and I'll move on from it. But that call was like one of the biggest flops I've seen all year. But the only fans are going to miss Coleman, you know, if he decides to go to the NBA. Because you're right, he does little things. And that's a lot for a 6'10 guy. He'll sleep good tonight to be logging that many minutes. I mean, he really and truly will. I mean, I'm yeah. sorry, but he will.
And I think, again, I'm going to go to fans, and Ked, you've had to hear this from me, so you know where I'm going to go. But when you watch when Coleman Hawkins plays the 5, you just have to watch the defense. What happens is he can hedge out on the pick, force the ball handler to go away from the pick and away from the basket for a step or two. That forcing the ball handler wide and deep allows the guy who was picked to recover and get back. And Hawkins has the foot speed to go backwards and cover whoever set the pick. Is Hawkins the perfect player? He's not. But that means that when Dane's there, Dane's foot speed isn't quite the same. And he also doesn't have Coleman's experience yet. And so Dane has a tendency to play that drop coverage, which means if the guy gets picked pretty good, the offensive player curls right around that pick, and Dane's, you know, 4 to 6 feet away from the basket, and that allows an open 6 to 10 foot shot for a guy. And in today's college, and I don't care what all the old timers, I am an old timer, these kids generally shoot better than we did. And if you give them a 6 to 10 foot shot where they're relatively open, they're going to make that a lot, a.k.a. Jalen Pickett and Boo Booey and, you know, et cetera. And so Dane isn't doing anything wrong, but for him to play within himself, he can't do what Coleman Hawkins does to help out the defense. And I'm telling Illini fans, you are going to miss him because there aren't a lot of 6'10 guys who can do what Coleman Hawkins does every night that most people don't care about because they're just wondering how many points somebody scored.
Okay. Yeah, and I'm going to tell you right now, I wish I had a screen where I can show people in the first half three times, excuse me, I take that back, two times, in Michigan was doing the dribble weave. And during that dribble weave, they did exactly what you said. They were going to Dane, so you knew they were going to try to take advantage of him. And as soon as they did, they scored. Jet Howard scored on both of them.
Yep.
So Coach Underwood had to take him out because you're right. You're going to get an easy 4 or 5 foot shot, and that's what his was, about 8 or 9. And it's tough because they're in that drop coverage, and pretty much everyone plays it. I understand. You know, for me, I would have went offensive defense a couple of times with Dane in the second half. I think he could have avoided one of the overtimes because I think it's a tough matchup for Coleman. I think he wore down.
Yep.
I really do think he did. But if you're going to do offensive defense with Sincere, I would have done it with Coleman as well. With Dane. But I agree. Trying to guard a guy on the perimeter is tough. In the Big Ten, teams are going to see that. I highly doubt. Now, maybe the first round game in the NCAA tournament, you may find a team to do that because they're going to have 4 days to prepare. But on the second day, you're not going to have a team to be able to prepare for that. And I think Dane, depending upon who they have for matchups, he may be able to stay in the game longer because he was effective early on. He was scoring over Illinois fans' favorite basketball player, opposing player Hunter Dickinson, all game long. So it stinks for him right now. I think, if he stays within the offseason and understands what they're trying to do defensively, because the game's that way. The game, and he's good enough, and I think he has quick enough feet to where he'll be able to figure it out. Kofi couldn't do that, I don't think.
Yeah, no, I agree, and I do think this is something that, again, I'm more of an offensive coach or defensive coach, so to me, these are big deals because that's how you kind of sneak through, think about it. A game as close as this game was, if you can force two hard shots a half by playing this defense, that could be 8 points that you're saving. And you, in a game like this close, 8 points is a victory. And so that's where I think people just tend to not always consider what Coleman's doing out there. And like I said, I think next year if he ends up going into the NBA, there's going to be some games where, you're going to want that and you're going to see like, oh, wow, other guys aren't as good at Coleman is at doing that, And that's kind of where like the Dennis Evans decommit from Minnesota with his 7'8" arms. He can actually stay as low as Dane, but cover a shooter 10 feet away because his arms are so long. But
Dane will get it.
Yep. And the other thing is, as we look at it, Terrence Shannon didn't have the most effective night shooting, was 0-for-5 from the three, but he had what I call a James Harden night where he got into the lane and he forced people to foul him. And he gets his body in there. And I thought there was one or two other calls he could have got, as he went down there. But ended up 13-for-16 from the free throw line. That's more than he normally gets. But he was with a younger team that Michigan has. They were going to contest him physically, which at times I think, they may have had other strategies, but what did you think of Shannon's play? He also had 7 rebounds, 4 assists, a couple turnovers, a block, and a steal.
Terrence Shannon, to me, all season long, is the one player on the team, that I feel you want more. There's so much left in that tank of that kid. It's not even close. I mean, there's just a lot. He brings so much to the table, and there's so many things that are intangibles that he does. And I will tell the Only fans this. I mean, it was senior night tonight. I know a lot of you know this, but maybe a lot of you don't. He could technically come back next year. I mean, if he either goes to the pros, NBA, or to play professionally, I guarantee they'll probably come back the Only. I highly doubt he would transfer to another school. So You know, I really, really like this. I'd like to see him come back. I'd like to see him improve his draft status. I really would, because I think a year in the system, I think this year might, you know, like tonight having to shoulder, you know, what it's like to have the ball in your hand and to be that guy, you know, to try to lead the team, because he hasn't done that in the past. Now it's nice seeing him do that. So I like this game. And, you know, one guy we really haven't talked a lot about, and I love all the kids, man. I love watching them play, but I am a huge, huge energy drink fan guy, Matthew Meyer. I mean, I love that dude's game, man. He, to me, is just one of the most confident, arrogant, politically correct basketball players, if you will, at Illinois. I just, because when he shoots the ball, even when he misses, because he, to me, is like, if you, I don't remember the exact quote where Michael Jordan talked about missing all those shots because he thinks the next one's going to go in. That's what I think of when I watch Matthew Meyer play. I wish he would have been around for 4 years, because he would have been, you remember how fans loved Georgie? I think that would have been the same thing, you know, with Matthew.
Yeah, and he clearly is an eccentric personality, which I think is awesome. And of course, you know me, I'm the only person who likes Hunter Dickinson, because I love the way he says what's on his mind, regardless of how crazy it is or how it may, quite honestly, shoot his team in the foot sometimes. And I love, you know, the way he, you know, is candid. I keep seeing I keep thinking he's the Monster Matt, you know, with the, but you have to sing it to the Monster Mash song.
And I'm into that.
I keep thinking of that when he's got the cans of Monster. And I don't drink the energy drinks. Do you drink them? Because I got to be honest with you, I think I've had like a half of a Red Bull, and I didn't think it tasted very good. And I'm a guy who, I'll drink it. If it tastes good, I'll drink a lot of it. And I just never got into any of those.
I think they taste good, but they are really bad for you. I mean, you ask any doctor, any, you know, being in the school system, health teachers, they'll tell you energy drinks are horrible. But I think I like the taste to them. And a lot of people, I don't want to turn this podcast into something different, but a lot of people drink them and put alcohol in them. The adults who do that, excuse me. Yes, but no, I'm not a fan.
Yeah, I don't know. I never got it. For me, like I said, people ask me, they're like, you know, you drink some beer. And I go, yeah, I do. I don't have a problem with a beer, but I got to be really hot, and it's got to be really cold. And after the second beer, I'm done with my beer taste fix. Now, Coke Zero or like regular Coke, I'll drink myself silly with that stuff because I just like the flavor. Yeah. So anyway.
Well, I'll tell you what, tonight, if anybody deserves a cold one tonight, who I know is of age, would be Coleman Hawkins. 49 minutes. If there's anybody, like I said to you, that, you know, who will sleep well, and I'm sure his girlfriend is watching. I don't know if she's – I think she's in Arkansas, Alabama. I forget what school she's at. I'm sure she's probably happy for her guy because he was instrumental. And I think, you know, I want to start giving Illinois fans credit. They're very knowledgeable. You know, when we do our podcast, Mike, when I look on, when we go to the message boards, and I'm glad that they pay attention and they do listen to us, it's very noticeable that they are knowledgeable of the game of basketball. So I'm not going to sit and pretend that they're not, because they are.
Yeah. And that's one of the folks, if you're ever thinking about subscribing to IlliniGuys.com, the best part about it, besides all the inside information you get from Ked and Brad and Matt and, you know, some of the other guys, is you get a chance to go back into the forums or the message boards, and you can read on the, there's threads, and you click on them based on the subject. And then you can look at like, oh, I want to know the 2025 targets the Illini are looking at. Well, there's a thread that's just dedicated to that. And Illini fans can go back and forth saying, hey, I like player A or I like player B. Or they can ask questions like, hey, Ked, what do you think about this guy? Have you seen him live? And Ked can say, yeah, I've seen him live, and here's what I think. And it's that interaction that makes the IlliniGuys.com really the best place to be if you really want to follow Illini football and basketball. And to be honest, you know, the only people, you know, that really – get the inside scoop, you know, is Ket and Brad. So I put in a little thing for you there. Go to IlliniGuys.com, click on the registration, and jump in. We bill you on the seventh day, $99 a year. And trust me, if you go on a by-hour basis, I don't know that there's a better entertainment value for you, period, because you go through basketball season. Then it's the transfer portal for both sports, and it's off-season recruiting, 7-on-7 football, AAU basketball. And before you know it, it's football season. And then you're back to basketball season, and you've spent an infinite amount of hours hanging out with other Illini fans virtually. It's great.
One thing I like about it, Mike, before I'm sorry to interrupt you, if, to give you guys an example, I mean, there was a basketball recruit on campus tonight for the game, and I know I thought that the Illini guys were, you know, was the first media outlet, especially recruiting site, to say who was going to be there. So that's what Mike is talking about. I mean, we really try to do a good job of providing that information to you, even, you know, the women's sports as well. So, you know, it's well worth it. I mean, I want to give a plug, not because I work here, but it is well worth it because the recruiting information, that's the fruit of every college football, or every college athletic program, excuse me. And so, and right now with the transfer portal and these recruits who are looking to, hey, I want to go to a different school, or I'm really interested in playing for Illinois, you know, a lot of times they'll reach out to us because they're impressed with what Illinois is doing. So, you know, just because the season is going to be coming down to the end of the year, and don't think that it's going to go away, because it's going to become even busier.
Yep, it's going to be really, really crazy time, and we certainly look forward to more coverage. Obviously, NCAAs will be starting, by the way, with both the men and the women, and of course, up at the Big Ten women's basketball tournament. Matt Stevens is the only person up there covering the game. So you can go to IlliniGuys.com, get his thoughts, you know, before the game, after the game, really get the coverage for what's going on up there. We're proud of what he's doing, and we're super excited with Illini gal, Adalia McKenzie, and we love to have on the coaches from the women's basketball program as well as the men. In particular, you know, Sean is great. And I got to be honest with you, there's not much better guest you can have on a radio show than Calamity. I mean, I'm sorry. She is more fun and a great guest. I feel like I'm interviewing an entertainer because she's so good when we interview.
She is, and that's a great, great staff. I know right now this podcast is being done on a Thursday night, and the Illini women are rolling right now. They look like they're tournament ready, and which is one of the reasons she was hired. They're beating Rutgers 75-46 with 4:20 to go in the half. I mean, in the game. So, and they also, they're on the verge of breaking a tournament record for field goal percentage, Mike. So, it's a good night for Illini basketball fans. It's been painful, you know, but ups and downs. But right now, it's a good night.
Yes, it is. So any final thoughts on the game tonight against Michigan?
My thought, they got to win. And they're tied with a bunch of teams, 11-8. That's what I'm looking at. And I'm also looking at a night for being, there's so many stars, but I want to tip my hat to RJ Melendez. I mean, you know, we now, in the last month, we started picking a player of the game, and you know, that's going to be on Twitter. So, you know, make sure you follow us on Twitter. But I really, really, I'm happy for RJ, because if there was a kid, you go through slumps, Mike. This kid was in a slump probably 90% of the season. So I'm really happy for him. I mean, that's my final thought.
Oh, that's great. And one last thing for you. We have Sunday morning against Purdue. It's going to be in West Lafayette. Fox is covering it 11:30 a.m. Central Time. What are you thinking about that game, just to get people kind of enticed?
Illinois has done a really good job. Brad is really good on the road, and it's been a different year, but let's not forget it's still Brad Underwood, and he still knows how to coach. And Illinois needs that big win. They've had the big win early in the non-conference against Texas and UCLA. Beating a team like Purdue will change the mindset of a lot of people nationally, change their seed. The one thing I don't want to see is them to have a 8 or 9 seed, because then you know who you have to play next. That's why I want them to win. If even the, what I've seen in the past, Mike, I don't even think the Big Ten tournament really matters for a lot of teams. I really don't. People talk about Michigan not, you know, being in it. Unless they win the tournament, I don't think it matters, because you hear a lot of people on the selection committee, they'll tell you these tournament games, they don't matter. So maybe they're all about just making money for a lot of people. I don't know. So beating Purdue was huge. And, I mean, what do you have to lose? You're not going to be favored. You know, you've lost games that you shouldn't. Get one of those back.
Yep. Well, it was quite a game. So Matt Meyer with 24, Terrence Shannon with 21. You'd think the transfer portal is important. I'd say it is. Ty Rogers, 14. RJ Melendez, 12. You had Dane Danger at 8. Coleman Hawkins at 6. Luke Goody at 4. And, of course, Sincere Harris at 2. So a nice spread of points across there. The Illini are good coming out of a double overtime thriller, one that I would prefer not to have to live again, 91-87, and we will be back after this commercial break.
A tradition of excellence over 150 years in the making. At Busey Bank, we're committed to building relationships that span generations. Wherever your journey in life leads you, we are with you along the way, creating a legacy for you and your family. Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868, proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini, member FDIC.
And we're back, and we've got, of course, this is Illini guy Mike Kegley, and we've got Illini guy Brad Sturdy, who was there on press row, got a chance to see one of the more exciting Illini games in quite some time. Not that this team keeps us bored, but good Lord, this was they finally, I guess they got their second close one. They love their third close one, but they do love going into overtime this year. Brad, you know, you're talking, you know, a 50-minute game, a lot of things going on out there. What jumped out at you as you're watching that game in the front row?
It was really an odd game. I thought at halftime, you know, I felt pretty good about Illinois at halftime, because it seemed like they were down by 10 points, but they were ahead by 2 points. Yeah. And so it was a weird dynamic there. And it was just, it's as the game, I mean, Illinois shot again, another poor shooting game. They missed a lot of shots. They were 13 of 27 on layups, 5 of 18 from three. And you know, luckily they were, what, I think 6 of 6 on dunks. Luckily they got 6 dunks. That's the only way they got it done. But yeah, so it was a weird game, and I thought they just made enough plays. They really kind of choked it at the end of regulation, to be honest. They should have won in regulation. They kind of missed some easy shots. They got a couple of bad calls, more on that later. Then I thought the other thing was that they showed the grit in the overtime, you know, getting down by 7, you know, and then making the run. You know, Terrence Shannon kind of gets going, and he hits the shots, and then Matt Meyer starts second overtime getting them going. And I think fatigue set in for everybody. It was just kind of a will to win type game. And No, I'm exhausted. Let me tell you, I was exhausted. I think I put in the game room. I'm exhausted. So yeah, it was hard. It was very, it has to be emotional for those guys. I mean, to go through that, I can't, you know, obviously I've played and been in games where, you know, whatever it was, you know, extra innings, overtime. And it's grueling, man. And I can't imagine at that level, especially a guy like Coleman Hawkins, you ask him to battle Hunter Dickinson inside and play 48, you know, almost 49 minutes in the game. So, you know, showed a lot of heart and toughness.
Yeah, that was pretty good. And you know who I really felt sorry for? Will Shetter, who was in the game for 9 minutes but managed to get four personal fouls. If that's not the Mike Kegley Award for the night, I don't know what is.
Everyone has a skill, Mike, and his hate seems to be fouling.
Oh, yeah, he's a foul magnet. So a lot of stories tonight. A couple I wanted to get your comments on. First off, the Illini played a 50-minute game, only had 7 turnovers. And the second one is they closed the gap on rebounding after having quite a gap early, only lost the rebounding battle by 1, but won the offensive rebounding battle by 3.
Yeah, no, I agree. The turnovers were huge. And that's part of the reason they lost the rebounding battle. 1, they can't shoot, and 2, they had fewer turnovers. So when we look at the whole rebounding battle, I actually thought, with them having more offensive rebounds, they actually did a good job. They actually out-rebounded Michigan because it's harder to get, deep offensive rebounds. But from a, from the turnover standpoint, that's huge, especially when you consider Michigan even pressed a little bit against the Illinois guards, thinking that they could turn them over. And they didn't have Jaden Epps, who has been playing point guard for them. They don't have Sky Clark, who they had earlier. And, it's pretty impressive to only turn the ball over 7 times in 50 minutes and that type of game. And I could be wrong, but I think that at least two and possibly 3 of the turnovers were offensive fouls that were bad calls. You take those away and that's even more impressive. There weren't a lot of really bad things that they did offensively, except missed a lot of shots, which seems to be the norm for this Illinois squad. So, but they made a concerted effort to get to the basket too. And I talked to Underwood in a post game. I asked him that question about that. The reality is that that's the team that we need. It doesn't mean you don't shoot threes, but you shoot threes after kickouts instead of shooting threes off of, ISOs. Now, the one guy, and Underwood mentioned this, he doesn't mind if Meyer takes him because he's a upper 30s three-point shooter. And, he was 4 of 11 tonight, which, isn't perfect. But if you're 4 of 11, that means you got 12 points on 11 shots. And, he also got fouled on a 3-2 and made 3 free throws. So, I guess he got, on his 11 threes, he got, 15 points. Yep. You'll take that, right?
Yeah.
And so that's a good trade-off. So, and we're seeing we're starting to see RJ Melendez, become what we thought he could be this year. Really efficient 12 points, great defense, got to the basket, made free throws, knocked down an open 3 when he had it. So, yeah, I think this team's there is potential there. The depth is not great, but sometimes, they lost Sky Clark and they went on a run. Now they lose Jaden Epps. Maybe they go on another run. Who knows? Eventually they're going to have to not stop losing guys, though. It doesn't work long term.
Well, and the interesting thing to me is they find a way to get it done. I thought tonight Terrence Shannon Jr., he had a 13 for 16 from the free throw line. And James Harden's the first guy that comes into mind. But I'll tell you, the way he was taking the ball to the basket, I'm going to pull a name out of the past. He really kind of reminded me of a young Mark Aguirre. I mean, he would literally take the, Aguirre wasn't a fast guy, but his first 2 steps were fast. And with Shannon, it takes him about 2 steps from anywhere inside the circle, and he's on the rim before you know it. And I thought his willingness to continue to take physical abuse and to not get so mad when he didn't get the calls was a difference tonight.
Yeah, he kept his composure and he kept attacking. And I think that's the hardest part. They had to do a lot of that. And I'll tell you what, here's what I'll say. I don't know if people notice this when they're not at the game or probably not if they're sitting not right there. I feel like tonight I saw a coaching staff that was so engaged tonight, helping guys through difficult times, whether it was talking Shannon kind of off the ledge when he wouldn't get a foul call, whether it was talking Coleman down, whether it was, you know, RJ, whatever. And I really thought they were really good. And it wasn't, and they were also, you know, controlling Brad, because I think that Brad may strangle Larry Serrato if they ever sees him on the street. I mean, after watching tonight, and you know, he was really frustrated. So, they tried to really do a good job keeping everybody up, keeping everybody, you know, positive, despite the fact they got some tough breaks.
You could see Jeff Alexander calming down Coleman at one point, and that was a fantastic shot from our friends at ESPN, because it was shot from behind Coleman, and you could see Coach Underwood, and you could see Jeff kind of putting his hands down, like, you know, calm down. And Coleman only had one little last outburst just to make sure he got the last word. And then he did, to his credit, he turned around and went back out there and played defense. I want to go over that, Brad, because it seems to me when against certain teams, danger, just whether it's awareness, quickness, whatever, Coleman is able to force the ball handler on a pick to go around the pick wider and further away. And then he's able to, you know, he hedges them wide and back a little bit. And when Dane's going playing that drop coverage, you know, that means sometimes these guys go right off the shoulder of the pick, and they end up, you know, getting a 12 to 8 foot shot relatively unguarded, or at least with less contesting. And boy, that does not happen as often when Coleman Hawkins is playing the five. I was amazed how well he played. And at the end, when Hunter started scoring, I thought that was the effect of Coleman being, you know, 45 pounds lighter and playing 49 minutes. But I thought he had a heck of a game, even though he only scored 6 points.
Yeah, I thought he did fine. I thought he did a good job, especially battling through the minutes thing. I think the thing with Dane is, when you're getting – in the first half, you saw him play more minutes because they were getting offensive production out of him. He was scoring, yep, and they were going – but then the second half, they put him in, and he, you know, he fumbles passes, and he does those things. And those are things that just really – he just makes those mistakes. Well, in a game that comes down to a single possession, you can't make those kind of mistakes. And so when you're not getting offensive production – and you're getting mistakes on offense, plus, you know, defensively he is, although as a one-on-one defender, he would have been a better matchup for Dickinson in the post.
Yep, totally. There's no question.
But it would have allowed all those other guys to go off. So what they wanted to do is make Hunter score in the post, make Michigan slow it down, walk it down, throw it. They vary how they're going to attack him. Don't want to give up threes, but they're going to make him shoot over people, make him go to his, you know, over his left shoulder instead of his right shoulder. It's all a game plan. We put it on the floor. They'd come from to attack, and they did a lot of good things. They forced 5 turnovers out of him. And yeah, he had 31-16. Don't get me wrong. It's their guy to throw up a career high, but they kind of made it hard for him to do it. You know what I mean? Like, it made it difficult. It made Michigan play slow, and I thought it made Michigan stagnant. When Michigan's their best, it's Bufkin going off ball screens and scoring, and Doug, whatever his name, McDaniel or whatever, going off ball screens and attacking. And, you know, Kobe Bufkin, I'm telling you right now, that kid's, I would not be shocked to see him go in the NBA draft this year and go in the first round. He's kind of ridiculous what he's doing of late offensively. He's been fantastic, you know. And so, yeah, and then you have Jet Howard spotted up. And, you know, so that you have to kind of pick your poison with them. They're very good. I think that is – that might be it. Underwood said he thinks they're the most talented team in the Big Ten, and I'm not sure he's wrong.
I would totally agree with that.
I mean, because you've got the center, you have Terrace Reed coming off the bench, a really quality player, but you've got Howard, and you've got some shooters like Baker, although he did, you know, airball the game-tying three. But you know, then you got the guards who can create. You know, they're really good. I mean, they've got a chance to be really good. They're a team that if they somehow – get into the NCAA tournament, you probably don't want to draw them. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, they're that kind of team. that they would be tough to beat in an NCAA tournament.
Oh, especially when they're not going to have Big Ten refs, so they can they can get out and use their athleticism, which is why I think Illini have a chance to do a little better in the NCAA tournament as well.
No question. And you know what? They're built for that. And Underwood talked about that. We talked about that last year. I sat with them, a coach, many times. Like, you know, they with the one thing about that that team with Kofi, you have a higher floor. And because you are a team that – and you have a better chance of winning the Big Ten with a guy like that, you know, and I think that's Purdue right now with Edie. Now, the question is, though, can you play out of the post and have that be your primary guy and win? Kansas uses post-ups, but that wasn't really the key to them winning. So I think that's part of this. You know what I mean? I think that's part of this deal. They want to be better and multiple and vary what they can do. You saw that tonight. They hedged, they trapped, they doubled from different angles, they rotated differently. They came from backside, they came from ball side. They made some mistakes, but overall, this was a team that was a lot different on ball screens and post-ups than they had been all year. They were multiple defensively, and they varied it, which we've been talking about. I swear we've said this on the podcast, I don't know how many times, that they need to start doing that. But I think they're finally at the point where they can, and they have the athleticism and stuff and to do it. And now they just got to, you know, keep getting, you know, better and better at it. And, you know, this also prepares them a little bit because this is how you're going to play against Purdue, right? I mean, you're going to be multiple against them. You're going to attack from different angles. You got to handle ball screens differently. It can't just be drop coverage. Can't let Edie get the ball on the inside and just turn the score. I mean, so, you have to be different, and we'll see how that goes. But I really liked some of that I saw today. So that gives – maybe they have a chance at – if they make more than 5 out of 18 threes, you know, you always have a shot.
Yeah, and I do think that, a couple of dumb fouls from Jet Howard, you know, you take those back and the game gets more interesting. The other thing I was frustrated in is, you know, you had a goaltend against Coleman Hawkins that clearly was not, and you had a cylinder interference on Hunter Dickinson, which wasn't called. 4 points for Michigan. But what frustrates me about that is not that I remember maybe has Illinois got 4 points all year on something like this, let alone in one game. So for those of you who talk about how it all evens out, as Brad Underwood would say. But my point is that is so easy if you have a fourth ref who literally can look at the replay. You don't have to take 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Who can literally say, yeah, that's a basket interference, or hey, that's not a goaltend. It seems like, why would you not want to improve the product on the floor when it doesn't sacrifice time from the game?
Yeah, so I'll say this. It seemed to me, and this is where the little things, like I always look back on that. First half, Illinois starts to make a run. They take their first lead of the game, really. I mean, maybe not first lead because
I know what you're going to say.
I mean, it was Meyer hits a three,
yep,
and they call the flop. So they get a free throw at the other end to tie it.
Yes.
And it takes the crowd completely out of the game. Then you have, you know, Illinois up seven. Ty Rogers is posting and he's backing the guy down. Flops. Complete and utter flop. Everybody, we watch replay, it's a joke. And said Michigan gets the ball down, they come down to score. Those are games that just totally took everything, time took the wind out of sail. Yeah, Illinois missed a couple layups, had shots, but the reality is those are, and then you have the tip in that shouldn't have been a tip in. You had the goaltend that shouldn't have been a goaltend. Those types of things are big calls that they don't get right very often. And that's the frustrating thing. And, you know, Sharon Shannon had a charge block call in the first half that, you know, ended up not meaning a lot, but I mean, it was a bad call. I will say on the other side, Hunter Dickinson's offensive foul.
Oh yeah.
Was silly. I mean, I don't understand why you would even do that. I it doesn't make sense. I don't know.
Well, and there were a couple calls too. There were a couple calls that I wouldn't have given to the Illini, but I thought, by the way,
Jet Howard got fouled on the game tying three.
Oh my God. He got totally hammered. Sincere
said to leave the game and go to the locker room because he got hit in the head on a layup and they didn't get a call. So these are, I mean, it was both ways, but it's just really poorly officiated games continue to be the norm in the Big Ten.
Yeah, and they just seem to be sad. I mean, what shocks me is, again, that there's so many fans who are like, yeah, you know, if you would read, you know, their stuff in any other part of their life, they want, you know, excellence until it comes to a referee. And then it's like, well, you know what? I mean, maybe we put a blind guy out there. Can he get up and down the court? You know, I mean, I'm sorry, but you know, Larry Serrato shouldn't have the job anyway, based on some other things going on. You know, and ultimately, they just make a lot of calls that I feel more sorry for the players than anyone else, because if I figure out in a game that a guy's going to let me put a hand on, but I can't swing down when I try to block a shot, I stop swinging down when I block a shot and I use my hand a little more. But these guys call them, it's almost like, you know, they call it a certain, there's about four zones of the game, the first 5 minutes, then the rest of the first half, then the start of the second half, then you have the middle of the second half, and then you have the last 5 minutes. So there's like literally five different zones of calls that these poor players got to try to figure out what they can and cannot do. And I think it makes for a painful game.
Yep. I know.
We're not going to solve this, obviously.
No, we're not. I do think, I think it's very, I think there's just concerns about the way it's done. I really felt like, you know, at home, you only didn't get that home cooking. I know they shot more free throws, but they also took the ball to the basket more and you know, you just attacked the rim more. And so they shot more free throws. So I don't know. I just didn't feel like they got that home cooking that a lot of teams get. I mean, you see some key plays, you know, when they were on the road at Indiana or Iowa, some calls went against them. And here, other than, you know, there was one or two I thought they maybe got, but there were probably four or five that they didn't get that I thought were really, you know, pretty obvious calls on the goaltends. I mean, especially the, you know, the tip in. I get sometimes the blocks are hard to tell if it hits the backboard first, but a tip in was clearly on the rim and, you know, showed the replay and it wasn't even remotely out of the cylinder. So, they just need to be better. And I know that it starts to be a point where I think Brad Underwood gets frustrated with certain officials. I think there are two in the Big Ten right now that he's really frustrated with. And I think that's, I think there's a reason. I think he just doesn't like, I know he told Larry Serrato tonight that even if you don't like me, you know, don't take it out on the kids, my kids, they don't deserve that. So that kind of tells you what he thought of Larry Serrato tonight.
Yeah. It was a tough one. And like I said, I thought that there were some bad calls that went both ways. I thought that I did think that Illinois, like I said, when you have two missed calls up in the air at a basket, it ends up 4 points for one team. You know, you'd like to see it balance out a little bit. And in a game that goes double overtime, you know, one could argue that they could have went home after playing 40 minutes if you'd have made the right calls or just had somebody there who could make the call very quickly using video. So yep. Any other final thoughts on this game before we turn the page and start talking about Sunday?
Well, obviously Brad Underwood, you know, 6-0 against Juwan Howard now. maybe has his number. I thought, you know, the other thing I would say, 20 wins, that's four straight 20-win seasons. Starting to develop consistency. You're going to have another NCAA tournament. They're not even – I mean, I don't care what anyone says. They can lose the next two. They're not on the bubble. They're not close to the bubble. I think if they would win a couple here, they literally could still be a six seed at the end of the day. So, you know, you get into that line and, you know, being Purdue would be a big change. You know, obviously that get them to 12-8 in the conference, which we could, the way things could play out, Illinois is still in play to get a double bye in the Big Ten tournament. They could be, if the right teams win, they could be as high as the two seed in the Big Ten tournament if things go right.
Yeah, but that would be
down in 8 or 9 too. So right, I think right. It's 7-8 range. So it just kind of depends what happens. You now have a 6-way tie for second place in the Big Ten. Michigan State's a half game behind, but would have been a 7-way tie, but Rutgers lost to Minnesota on the last second three. So it kind of gives you an idea. It's like, this is the epitome of parity. This is what I guess they want. I mean, this is a, you know, anybody can beat anybody, and we'll just see what happens. I think they're only, if I'm not mistaken, I think they're now with Purdue winning. Purdue won tonight, right? Or Wisconsin by two.
Yep.
So I think if I'm not mistaken, I think there are now nine teams behind Purdue or eight teams behind Purdue that could slide up into that, you know, in that period. I don't know what Michigan State's deal is because they have fewer games, whatever. But
means they automatically win the Big Ten title.
Yeah, they win. So that's the weird part is they can't get to – they could get to 11-8, but they can't get 12-8. So – and they would have been 12-8 because I think the game they lost was Minnesota, wasn't it? So, I mean,
yeah,
they probably would have been 12. But anyway, so I guess the point is, like, there's so much movement still available there where teams – you have, like, eight teams in contention to be a top four seed or have a chance to move up in there. And pretty wild when you think of it. We're down to the last – we're going to be down to the last day of the season, and we'll still have really only one team – well, I guess three teams locked into their Big Ten tournament spots. Last place, Minnesota. Next to last place, Ohio State. And first place, Purdue. And everything else is just a jumbled mess.
Well, and you forgot one stat that's a key one this year, Brad. Illinois is now 8-1 this season when the McNuggets promo hits.
It's the key. Free throw defense is definitely the key.
8-1. So if we see one guy miss those two free throws, that's almost a lock. It's very similar to the I haven't kept the track of the once Shannon gets to the three free throws, where does that take the team? Next up, I think is we've got that coming, and of course, real quick, I know you didn't get a chance to see it, but the Illini women were dominant in an 81-55 win over Rutgers, and a really nice night for Makaira Cook and Genesis Bryant. Cook had 24, Bryant had 21, Adalia had 12. Just a really nice effort across the board for the Illini as they shot 59% from the field. And also 50% from the 3-point line. The only thing that anybody could be disappointed in is they only shot 57% from the free throw line. I mean, you're really looking for things to talk about when you got to go to.
Hey, they're winning. You know, what a fantastic year. I think the cool part for this group is what does that put them at? 22-8. A chance here to get to, you know, they can win, if they win another game in this Big Ten tournament or two. You know, they've got Maryland, Iowa, right? So two games that they're tough, but they've already beat Iowa, so that's obviously something that could be done. But you know, you look at 24 wins is the record record for a season. For Illini women's basketball. So, 22-8, you know, you win another game in this tournament, you're 23, win a game in the NCAA, you got a chance to set the school record for wins. I mean, that's pretty exciting. Pretty cool stuff. What a fantastic first year, and be excited to see what they do tomorrow night. Matt Stevens, of course, being there, covering them, which is really cool. You know, we're the only media there covering the women's program, which is pretty good. So, I think that's awesome.
Excellent. Any other closing thoughts as we kind of wrap up this portion of the Eye on the Illini podcast?
No, I would just say, you know, Purdue, big game. Illinois, big game. Illinois got a chance to let's get this get a dub on Sunday, right? And see what happens. It's a tough game. Joe Clark and I will be over there in West Lafayette. Joe will have the pictures, and I'll have, I'll be courtside there. Well, not courtside, there you sit kind of up in the nosebleeds, but regardless, I'll be there in the building, and should be a lot of fun. This Purdue team that came into tonight, you know, and they eked out a win over Wisconsin, but they had lost 4 of 6. They've lost 4 of, they're 3-4 in their last 7 games. This isn't the same team that was just running roughshod through the Big Ten for a long time. So they're struggling. They've hit kind of a rough patch, and maybe Illinois got, you know, you never know. You always come out and you see what happens, and see if Illinois can find a way to pull out a win on the road and could really make make some hay in their Big Ten and NCAA tournament seeding if they can win that one.
Yeah, it'll be fun. You know, it'd be really nice to have the opportunity to see them win against Mr. Edey. I think it's going to be a challenging game for the Illini, but you know, early on, I think I would double team Edey every time he touches the ball, and let's see if those young freshmen are hot. You know,
yep.
see if they can shoot, and God bless them, they might be able to shoot the lights out at home. But I like the idea of seeing the freshman legs going down the stretch might be a little tired.
Yep, agreed.
Perfect. So with that, thank you so much, Brad, and we are going to head into a real quick commercial break.
At Busey Bank, we understand you have a vision for your future, and we're committed to helping you achieve your dreams. Since 1868, we've invested in recruiting and retaining the best and brightest associates. Busey's unique culture is one that values and supports you, provides opportunities for growth, and is much more than a job. It's a career. Build relationships, build community, and build your career at Busey Bank. Proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini.
So this is a big thanks to Brad Sturdy, fellow Illini guy, and Kedrick Prince, Illini guy's director of recruiting. Thanks for coming on, guys. I appreciate it. Brad was getting, you could see he was in his car heading back from Champaign. We were exciting victory. And, of course, coming up Sunday, 11:30 a.m., Fox. It's going to be a battle against Purdue and West Lafayette. Should be a lot of fun. And, of course, if you have a chance between now and then on Friday and Saturday, try to spin around your dial. Look on IlliniGuys.com and hit the radio button. See which station closest to you has the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. And on Friday or Saturday, tune into it and see if you enjoy our show. We're going to have Jerry Palm on this week, of course, the guy who does NCAA pairings, and one of the best guests we've had, Bob Thompson, who is one of the folks who was shoulder-to-shoulder with Jim Delaney on the creation of something called the Big Ten Network. So he was a fascinating guest to talk to as well. So we'd love to have you listen to Illini Guys Sports Spectacular on the radio. If you can, call up the station or send them an email and thank them for having us on. And, of course, you can also get it on a podcast Saturday at you could do it Saturday at noon. It comes out. And we'd love to have more listeners on that as well. So with that, this is Illini Guy Mike Kegley saying go Illini.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.